Welcome to Community Connection, and it is our pleasure to have, and privilege, by the way, to have Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation, Chuck Hoskin Jr., as our guest. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, looks like we've got some things coming around the pike here, like reopening plans for June 1st. Can you elaborate?
Sure. So we've been all along since we shut down casinos March 16th and sent most of our workforce home on the government side, the non-mission critical workforce home. We've been letting our experts give us guidance and listening to that guidance and looking to the CDC and other credible sources on how to make decisions. And I think it's worked well for the Cherokee Nation. So here we are. It's not quite the middle of May yet, but it's fast approaching. And we're looking to how can we safely restore government operations and how can we safely reopen some of our gaming facilities. And so we're looking right now at June the 1st. So June the 1st, we'll begin a phased reopening of both the business side, that includes casinos, and the government side, all the programs and services and offices that that our citizens are familiar with. By phased opening, it's going to take a different form at each facility. On the government side, it will be things like staggering our workforce so that not all of them show up on the same day. Perhaps some of them work Tuesdays and Thursdays 1 week, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday the next week. And so we reduce the headcount, but we can still get operations back close to what they were before we shut down for the pandemic. We'll keep desks further apart. We'll have things like partitions installed between the public and frontline office clerical or receptionist type positions. Everyone will have to wear a mask on our government side, whether you work in the building or whether you are visiting the building. That's just going to be the way it is for a while. And so we'll begin there June the 1st. Now, on the business side, the casino side, they're still developing those plans because they have to look at what keeps a commercial facility with a lot more customer presence safe. So they're still working on that, but they are looking to a June 1st date to begin a phased reopening. And that could take the form of some of the smaller facilities opening before, say, the Hard Rock opens. So those are still in progress. But so far, Tom, we've gone along keeping the government operating in some form or fashion. We've kept everybody whole in terms of pay, and I think everybody's looking forward to trying to get some semblance of normalcy back, although normalcy is kind of a relative term now, because I don't know when it'll be the same at the Cherokee Nation, because this plan we have really stretches into the month of September, so every month is a different phase, but the first phase is June the 1st.
All right, very good. I understand the nation is donating some PPEs to area first responders.
We did, about the end of March, I think a lot of the country, including the Cherokee Nation, was starting to grow concerned about things like masks and gowns and gloves, because we didn't know exactly what was coming in terms of the demands on our healthcare system. Of course, even when you don't have a lot of cases, you're still using a lot more masks and gowns and gloves and things of that nature to protect the public and your health staff. And so initially we were in the same situation I think a lot of the country is in, which is that we didn't feel real secure in our stockpile of those resources, but that changed. And it changed in part because we had some assistance from the United States government, the Indian Health Service, and because we took our own resources and we found our own suppliers, and we had some great people at Cherokee Nation that were just out there hustling and trying to find suppliers that could provide good product at a good price, and we did it. We got ahead of it, and we found ourselves actually with more things like masks than we felt we needed in terms of projecting. But we looked around the area and who was lacking those. A lot of our first responders, a lot of our rural fire departments, emergency management teams in counties across the 14 counties, many of those were in need. So we sent 2,500 masks to those first responders. And then we looked, as I think the rest of the country, is increasingly looking at the Navajo Nation. At the Navajo Nation right now, per capita, they've got more cases than any single state in this country. I just read that on the news today, but their numbers have been high for some time, and I've visited from time to time with the leader of the Navajo Nation, President Nez, and they're working very hard up there, but they're up against it. And, you know, we very could have well been up against it. And who knows, a future pandemic or crisis, we may be in position when we are in need. This time it was the Navajo Nation, so we sent 5,000 masks to their healthcare system and believe that has made a difference out there. So our philosophy is that if you have plenty, you ought to share with your neighbors, and because it's the right thing to do. And you know, in a sense, it just like any sort of charitable giving, it comes back tenfold in terms of what it does in terms of blessings for your communities, and that's the way I feel.
We're talking with Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. with the Cherokee Nation today on our community connection. The first conversation we ever had, you had just become chief, and one of your first missions was to improve getting food to all Cherokees and with the food outreach program. And I understand we've got a success story here.
We do. And of course, when we first talked, I never imagined that that a pandemic would create the great demand for food that it's created. But I am proud of the way the nation has stepped up. We have at this point fed, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12,000 families, mostly elders across the 14 counties. We did it first by getting the perishable food out of our casino back on about March the 16th. Our deputy chief and I were talking about shutting down the casinos, and he said, look, there's a lot of perishable food there. Let's get it out to elders. So that's really where it started. From there, we looked at some emergency funds we had for a variety of issues that might come up during the year, and we said, boy, the emergency right now outside of healthcare is making sure that elders have food, because they could be in it for a while and they need to stay home. And in fact, that turned out to be true, of course. Elders needed to stay home and still need to stay home. And so we started deploying food out. We used community organizations. Up in the Bartlesville area, there's a wonderful organization called the Washington County Cherokee Association. We've got just a stellar member of the Cherokee Council, Dora Peskowski, who's up there. Mm-hmm. I've seen her up there rolling up her sleeves and moving food out of trucks to get out to the communities. And so you've got a real grassroots effort out there that's enabled us to do what I think, frankly, we couldn't do if it was just the Cherokee Nation alone doing it out of Tahlequah. I mean, yes, we could order, you know, pallets and pallets of non-perishable foods. But a government operation getting it out to the community can be very difficult. Just kind of the nature of some obstacles that governments face, including the Cherokee Nation. But if you can get the food in the hands of volunteers and nonprofits, well, they can do, I think, sometimes amazing things, and they can act more nimbly, perhaps, than government can. And that's what we've seen. That's the reason we've been able to feed somewhere in the order of 12,000 families. So that's been important. The other thing that's been important is we have these USDA supplied grocery stores called their food distributions mm-hmm. food distribution program. The closest one in that area is in Collinsville. We reached an agreement with the government of the United States that said, look, we need more food in this pandemic. We need to lift some restrictions on eligibility. So we reached that agreement. We've increased the number of families that go into those stores and they get curbside service to get food. All this means that at a time when we are asking people to stay home and stay out of the stores if they could, well, we gave them a way to do that. The way to do that is we delivered food to them, or we enabled them to go to a safe place to get food. So that's a real success story. And I think we will look at it as a model in the future, not only to how to help during a crisis, but perhaps how to solve some food insecurity problems that we have across the Cherokee Nation.
We're speaking with Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. with the Cherokee Nation. And I understand that you're going to be receiving part of your CARES Act stimulus recovery fund.
We are, and it's been a long time in coming. In this pandemic, a long time is really a matter of weeks or a month. So Congress, about mid-March passed, or late March passed, the CARES Act, which was the major legislation that was to provide funds to entities, to governments, to businesses around the country for COVID-19 recovery. So, you know, there's two phases, this responding to COVID-19, managing the fallout from COVID-19, and then recovering. And so the recovery piece of it was the CARES Act. Unfortunately, the distribution of funds through the CARES Act was caught up in some disputes, and Cherokee Nation was in the middle of those disputes because we felt that the United States Department of Treasury and the United States Department of the Interior was not following Congress's mandate. We can get way down in the weeds, but suffice it to say, tribes across the country believed that it was wrong that entities called Alaska Native Corporations were going to stand in line for some of these funds. Total of $8 billion, but Tom, we're talking about $8 billion that's got to be distributed to every tribal government. These tribal governments are on the front lines of public health. They're on the front lines of food security projects like the Cherokee Nation undertook. And, of course, they're important to their economies and to the economies of their region, just like Cherokee Nation's important to the economy of Northeast Oklahoma. And so for us to get shortchanged, it just wasn't something that seized the Cherokee Nation I was going to tolerate. And so we joined some other tribes in some litigation with some success. A federal judge said to the Treasury Department, send out some of the funds ASAP. So the funds finally arrived last week. And so we're using those funds to replace funds we lost as a result of the pandemic. And the losses aren't over yet, because what people in this area, but some people around the country, don't understand is that for Cherokee Nation and for other Indian tribes, our businesses aren't just businesses in our economy. They are the revenue source for our government. They're the way that we invest in future economic development. They're the way that we feed elders. They're the way that we provide scholarships for our citizens and job training, social service programs, and all sorts of other things that we consider to be the role of our tribal government. So when we lose that revenue, jobs are at stake. Prosperity could be halted. Opportunities to give people hope for the future, whether it's a kid going to college or whether it's an adult who wants to get a different skill set through job training, or if it's a small town that wants economic development. And we've been there for those communities and those people, but we're going to have a harder time doing it given that we shut down our entire revenue source when we shut down the casinos on March 16th. It's cost us over $30 million a month to do that. And then when we start back up, you know, at the top of our conversation, Tom, we talked about the reopening, and the reopening is going to be phased. We're going to do it in a safe way, which means we're not just going to immediately flip the switch and get back to the way gaming was before the pandemic, because we've got to play it safe. Safety and health is far more important than money. It just is. But that does come at a steep cost to the Cherokee Nation. So these COVID funds, these CARES Act funds, will be here to replace what we have lost. And what I like to tell folks is these dollars are not just dollars going to Cherokee Nation. Remember, Cherokee Nation drives the economy in Northeast Oklahoma. So it's in everyone's best interest, whether you're Indian or non-Indian, Cherokee or non-Cherokee, it's everyone's best interest that we get back on our feet, because we create so many jobs, we support so many jobs. So we're going to use every penny of this to help us out. And we're talking about right now somewhere in the order of $220 million-plus dollars that have come in, and we expect more to come in the coming weeks and months. But it's been a fight just to get those dollars here, and I guess one thing we're used to as tribal leaders is sometimes we have to fight to get our fair share, but by golly, Tom, we'll do it, and I'll do it every day.
All right. All right. Chief, I want to ask a couple of quick questions pertaining to gaming. I understand the governor has tried to make some kind of agreement with a couple of tribes outside of the tribes that are currently in litigation with the governor. How's that washing with everyone?
Well, I tell you what, every time I think that the governor has done something that's just been completely unhelpful, he seems to outdo himself the next time. And I just say that because it's just plain true. I mean, a few weeks ago, he had a press conference in which he said he was signing a compact with two tribes, Otoa, Missouri, and the Comanche tribes for compacts. these compacts, just reading them, are illegal on their face. But nobody has to take my word for it. They could ask the Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma, who said the same thing. They could ask the leaders in the House and the Senate of the governor's own party, the Speaker of the House, Mr. McCaul, and the Senate Pro Tem, Senator Treat, both said this is illegal. And so now these compacts, which everyone outside the governor's office who's looked at them said these are illegal, are in Washington, D.C., awaiting approval by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. It matters whether they're approved or not, of course, because if they're approved, that means a compact that many state leaders think is illegal or are illegal would be in effect. These compacts, by the way, allow a tribe to go into another tribe's jurisdiction and set up casinos. That's never happened in the state of Oklahoma. Can you imagine the disruption that would happen when one tribe essentially goes into another tribe's territory, gets land, puts up a casino, and starts competing within the historic treaty boundaries of a tribe? I mean, this is, if you wanted a way to have tribes fighting with each other, you couldn't do it better than the way the governor of the state of Oklahoma's done it. I don't know if that was his motive, but that's essentially the effect that it would be. Now, there's other problems, too, that the compacts approve. Sports betting, when it's illegal in the state of Oklahoma, that's just one of the other problems with it. So I predict the Bureau of Indian Affairs is going to look at it and reach the same conclusion that everyone except the governor reached, which is that these are illegal and they can't be approved. So, look, we're in the middle of fighting the greatest public health crisis in the history of the state, the greatest public health crisis that the country and the world has seen in generations. Frankly, Tom, tribal leaders, we don't have time for this nonsense. We don't have time for the distraction that these two lawless compacts caused for tribal leaders across the state. We're trying to save people's lives right now. If we want to get serious about compacts, we'll wait until the pending litigation is over, and then we'll sit down and we'll reach some agreement that will pave a bright future for gaming in the state of Oklahoma that's fair to all tribes, it's fair to the state. But this nonsense, it needs to stop, Tom, because we don't have time for it.
Very good. We've been speaking with Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin, Jr. with the Cherokee Nation. It's always our honor to have you on the air with us. I thank you, and I look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, Tom. Be well.